heaven will be worth it all. Isn't that the truth? And those of us that are here tonight, and those of us who have heard the sweet, sweet word of the Lord, understand that very powerful song, heaven will surely be worth it all. And when we think of those words, and I'd like to look into the scripture tonight with you and just talk a little bit about exactly what our heavenly home will be like. I'm praying, I'm hoping, and I'm desiring that you will be lifted up in your spirit this night and be able to think more about this wonderful home called heaven. Certainly, it is our heavenly city that we all look forward to. And when we think about this heavenly city, we read about what was written and spoken to our father Abraham, obeyed when he was called out to go out to a place where he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents, and Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A city that had been prepared for him. And that city is being prepared for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 and following, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you will, for me this evening and read with me in Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 2. Revelation 21 and verse 2, and we're going to read right on through chapter 22 and verse 5. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, for God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls filled with the seven plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit a great high mountain and showed me the great city and the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like almost a precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with the 12 gates and the 12 angels at the gates, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and he who talked with him had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city laid out a square, its length is great and its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. And then he measured its wall 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation of the wall and the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was a jasper, the second a sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh crystallite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, and eleventh jacinth. And the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, which individual gate was of one pearl, and the street in the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, and the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water, clear, water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and it shall, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God him gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We've just read an amazing account of what heaven might be like. Just a glimpse into our heavenly home. It is written that we look for a city, but the city is not here upon the earth. We have no continuing city that we seek. It's the one that we desire is the one that is yet to come. The city promised by Jesus for all those who overcome, all the faithful will be in that particular city. The great city in Revelation 9, 20 through 21, John is shown an amazing city as we study the text in verses 9 through 21. He's shown a holy city, but the one with seven angels who had seven bowls of wrath. Those are reserved for those who do not obey God, but who offended the very God of creation, but who offered to show John this angel, the bride and the Lamb's wife, who carried him away in the spirit to a great high mountain. And he sees this great city, the holy Jerusalem, from that vantage point. And imagine all the things that we read about this city. He sees the great city of Jerusalem descending out of heaven as God has designed, and having the glory of God and the light of the stone, the jasper stone, clear as crystal. An amazing thought, a desire to be in that city one day. The imagery is uncertain, but certainly we may see through these amazing words to be able to depict and this hovering city between heaven and earth, the new city, Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ, all the saints together in one place. And John describes this holy city with great walls, the 12 gates, and each gate on each of the east and the north and the south, and the 12 angels at the gates, and the 12 tribes of Israel, the names are inscribed upon the gates, and the 12 foundations with the 12 apostles and the names inscribed on the foundations. All these things prepared for a time that has not come yet. A time in which all the saints of God would be gathered together in this great city called heaven, the New Jerusalem. Think, if you will, about the magnificence that we've read about. The gold and the crystal and the water of life and the light emitting from God's throne. And think about how this city is described. It's a holy city. The measurement of the city and the gates and its walls. How immensely large this city is. And this angel had the golden reed to measure them. And the city that's laid out and measured in cubits, the length of a man or an angel, as the scripture tells us, 12,000 furlongs or 1,500 miles cubed. And you think of how large that is. That's like the distance between Orlando, Florida, and Denver, Colorado. It's not a small city. And it needs to be a large city, doesn't it? Because of all the faithful over the years, generation after generation, that will be there with us in that glorious, glorious place. That wall, 140 cubits, 216 feet high or thick, depending on the translation. Such an amazing place that John's describing, this holy city. The construction of the walls of the city, the foundations that are around it, and the gates, and the wall that has the jasper in the city, the pure gold like glass. What an amazing thought of all this that we're preparing ourselves in life today to be in that amazing city built by God. The 12 foundations, the walls adorned with those precious stones, the sapphire and the sardis and the chrysophis and the chalcedony and the crystallite and the jochnish and the emerald and the beryl and the amethyst, all those stones that are in this city, how glorious that will be. It's a marvelous thing to think about our heavenly home. Certainly gives us pause to think about the life in which we live upon this earth. When we sang this song earlier, heaven will surely be worth it all. Coming from the Roman letter that Paul wrote in chapter 8, verse 18, where he said, the suffering of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's an amazing thing, this heavenly city that is being prepared for us. We remember the scripture in John chapter 14 where Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's home are many mansions or many rooms. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and this is where it is. Imagine the colors and all the joy and the shades of green and red and blue and gold and clear crystal coming from these stones and from the gates and from the city streets and from the waters and the light that emits from God's throne. And all of that is being prepared for those who are faithful until death. Truly, it's a great city. And truly, it's really beyond our comprehensions, and it's worthy of sitting and contemplating the glory of this heavenly home that awaits the children of God. But let's go on and read more about this. The 12 gates in the city is just the beginning. This glorious city is illuminated by the very presence of God and the Lamb. You think of this, the temple are the Lord's. There's no need for a temple there. And the God Almighty and the Lamb are the ones that emanate light so that we have all that we need in that city. There's no temple. And unlike there was in heaven described earlier in Revelation 7:15, this is a new city, a new Jerusalem. For that, it depicted the blessing and the intermediate state, but the eternal state. This is something that will go on and on and on and on. You will be able to bask in the light of God that comes from the throne, being illuminated by the glory of the Lamb and of our God in heaven. Just imagine that there's no switch, because the light is there. It's no night there. It's constantly coming from the throne of God. There's no need for the night. There's no need for a sun. There's no need for a moon to shine on it, as we read in Isaiah chapter 60. And of course, the sun and the moon, as we know it, had been burned up. The scriptures tell us that all those things that have been a part of creation, and those who have rejected the law of the Lord, they will be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. And all those things that do not become a part of that new heaven and earth will be cast off into hell's fires and being destroyed. It's a glorious city, illuminated by God and our Savior, a place that I want to be. It gives me hope, and it gives me pause, and it causes me to think about what I want in my future. And listen, I don't know what my future holds. I don't know if it's tonight, tomorrow, or the next day that I'll even begin to glimpse this wonderful city. But it'll be enhanced when we get there. Think about that. Heaven is an amazing place as we think about it in our minds, and all those beautiful things that we've described, and God and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the light emitting from the throne. What an amazing, glorious thing. But it'll be enhanced by those who enter into it. Think about that. The nations. The Revelation 21 and verse 24, the beginning, the nations will be saved, of the saved shall walk in its light. And the saved come from different nations. And the imagery is similar to that found in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 through 9. If you would please, let's read Isaiah chapter 60, verses 3 through 9. We're going to go ahead and just read it from verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the dark, deep darkness of the people. The Lord will rise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings of the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebos shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are those who fly like a cloud and like the doves to their roosts? Surely the coastland shall wait for me. The ships of Tarshish shall come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver, their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because He has glorified you. Amazing. That's us. That's all those who've obeyed. We'll be in that city, and we will be a part of what makes it so wonderful. We will be coming in there and being part of the enhancement of that city. The kings of the earth bring their glory and their honor to it. And perhaps referring to such righteous kings like those who were before us in Judah, David and Hezekiah and Josiah. Imagine being able to meet them in this glorious city. Or imagine being able to sit and understand completely the thoughts of Solomon, and to be able to come face to face with Moses or Elijah or these amazing prophets and kings who were before us. And all these things will come together as an amazing built clock mechanism by the hand of God, that when the right time ticks, everyone will be together in one glorious place, a glorious city in heaven. Those redeemed by the Lamb who will reign together with Him. This is that glorious city illuminated by the glorious God and Savior, a place I want to be. And we understand from our reading in the textbook that the things that are an abomination unto God will not be in that city. If you remember, we read in verse 8 of chapter 21, the things that will not be there: the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The faithful can read that and be sorrowful about those who do not remain faithful. And listen, when we think about faithful, we understand as God's children that that means assembling in the services, that means loving one another, that means doing the work that God has called us to do, always being ready, abounding in the work of the Lord, remaining steadfast and sure in our faith. It means telling the world about Jesus. The faithful are not the people that show up every other week or every other month or only on Easter. The faithful are those who come on Sunday mornings and they listen to God being preached and they hear His Word being presented into their hearts. The faithful are those who are always ready to work the work that the church has been given to do. And we need to be faithful in order to see this heavenly city, our home. We want to be here in this glorious, glorious city, illuminated by our God and our Savior. And so we really want to think hard about what it means to be faithful. You know, the gates, the Scripture tells us that they shall not be shut at all by day and night, because there is no night there. There's no time, there's no need to say, well, it's 5 o'clock, we're closing the gates. And I want you to think about that in terms of being faithful. The Lord has asked His faithful children to assemble and not forsake that assembly on the first day of the week. We come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. And spirit and truth does not mean one or the other. It means both. It means that we come together and as God's children, we assemble. That's one of the things that we must do on the first day of the week to be faithful. I cannot look at myself in the mirror and say I am a faithful child of God if I haven't assembled with the faithful. And when it comes to being faithful and having my eye upon that glorious home called heaven, I also have to come together and worship God in spirit and truth. And that means that I'm singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5 and 19. That means that I'm walking steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ and of the apostles. And I'm having prayers as a part of my worship service. That means that in my worship service, I have teaching, hearing God's Word. That means in the worship service, I have the communion of Christ offered every Lord's Day. And that also means that we take up a collection every Lord's Day. Now listen, I've heard people, and I mentioned this in a sermon previous, that they want heaven as their home. But they're seldom here. And they've told me that you know, Dave, God is everywhere. You can worship God on a mountain all by yourself. You can worship God in your bedroom all by yourself. I worship God at home. I worship God. Listen, two of those acts you can do by yourself. You can pray and you can sing. But you can't assemble. You can't do the Lord's Supper by yourself. You can't have the offering by yourself. And when it comes right down to it, the teaching, when it talks about teaching and admonishing one another, you can't do that by yourself. Faithful. faithful will see this glorious city. God has told us nothing will defile this city, nothing that is not pure, nothing that is not according to His will and His purpose. Nothing that would cause an abomination or a lie. Only the things that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into this city, a glorious city, enhanced and glorified, redeemed of all the nations. Verse 12, gates, no night, and the nations shall bring their glory and their honor into it. Dearly beloved, if you can't glorify God and honor God on one day a week with the saints assembling together, you cannot call yourself faithful. You cannot believe that your glory is going to enhance heaven. But the faithful know and have every reason to have hope and encouragement from these scriptures that they will be part of that nation that glorifies and brings honor to heaven, that enhances what God has already done. See, heaven is being prepared, as we mentioned in John 14. Heaven is being prepared for us. And heaven will not be complete until the church is raised up and taken home where they will evermore be. Glorious city. The glory and the honor added to the glory of God and the Lamb. Are you living a life that would cause you to say, yes, when I die, I'm going to go into paradise, and one day when the Lord comes, He's going to take me to heaven, and the glory in which I've lived my life and the way in which I've honored and worshiped God in spirit and truth is going to go with me, and it's going to enhance that experience. I hope you can say those things. The glory and honor they themselves receive at the coming of the Lord. Listen. Provision for everlasting service. The water of life is there. The pure river that's running clear as crystal. It proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb promised to those who thirst for righteousness. We've all understood the words of the Lord, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Right? That's what we need to be. Not people who will nibble on Sunday morning and then and have nothing to eat all week long. I've done a couple gospel meetings back to back, sort of, and I can tell you what, I'm fat. Because I ate too much. Physically. But spiritually, I'm fat. Because every time I meet with the saints, every time we study God's Word, every single time that we give one another a holy kiss, and every single time that we come together in prayer, and we come together in singing, and we come together to honor the great God of heaven, our Father, we are fed. And we're becoming fat spiritually, which is a good thing. No need for a diet. The tree of life is there. In the middle of the street, it says, was in the Garden of Eden, now in the city of God. We'll finally get to see that tree of life. And it will be for an eternity. It's an everlasting service, straddling the river of the water of life from where it gets its nourishment, bearing the 12 fruits, yielding those fruits every month. It's a perpetual provisions. The leaves are for the healings of the nations. No more sickness. We read that scripture. No more sickness. We won't have any more crying. No more tears. No more sorrows. No more backaches. No more stomach aches. No more problems with cancer and with leukemia and with troubles of the body, the heart and the lungs. And there will be no more. All things will be made new. Another thing, too, to really dig into here is that there's no more curse. The curse that's made life so miserable for so many, for generation after generation, after Genesis chapter 3, and we read about the Adam who said, because you have God, then he turned to God, or to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. And then, We have eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat of. And as a result, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. They're going to toil and they're going to eat all the days of their lives. Thorns and thistles, he says, are going to be a part of their day-to-day living. The sweat from the face will be a part of life. He says, and then one day you'll do all these things until you return to the ground. And that curse will be taken away. The curse will be taken away. There's not going to be any more reason to say from dust to dust. We came from the dust and the dust we return. No more reason to say that. Because this is eternal. And it's a time in which God's children will be gathered together. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, that's exactly what Jesus said. Wherever two or three or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. You hear those amazing words? And he will write his name on them, the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven. He says, and I will write a new name. They'll get a new name. We don't know what that name will be, but we know it'll be glorious. Because we know that in that day, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, that if we remain faithful today and every day of our lives until death, that the Lord will look upon us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. And now I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You think about those gates and those city walls and that gold and that light coming from the throne of God, and how we'll be there to our the glory. It will be an enhancement to the Lord and to heaven. And the curse, it'll be gone. The throne of God and the Lamb is present. God's reign continues forever. And His servants serve Him. There will be work. But it won't be laborious. It'll be a labor of love. And they shall see His face like the angels. Enjoy His presence. And when we say they, we're talking about you, if you're faithful. His name will be upon the foreheads of those faithful, those who are designated as His, those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no need for switches, because the light comes from God, and they shall reign forever and ever. And the exalted nature of our service is something that comes from our love of the Lord. The Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many. I hope that you're desirous to go to this heavenly home. May we who are the disciples, the followers of Christ, allow the visions seen by the book of Revelation, by John. Let those things excite you inside. Let them encourage you in your spirit to remain faithful, to do the things that God has called us to do, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and doing those things which are good and pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. Romans 12 and 2. To be able to listen to the Word of God and to be able to look into the mirror of our soul through that Word and say, Lord God, I've lived this day for You. Or, Lord God, I need to change what I've done because I want to be in heaven. I want to be in that glorious home with You for eternity. I want to be someone who, when they come, You say, You've enhanced me. Your glory enhances heaven. Revelation chapter 22. verse 12 and following. Jesus said, "And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me. I give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Think about what we just read. Jesus said he's coming. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he's going to give to everyone according to their works. Those who are blessed are the ones who do the commands of the Lord. I'm so excited thinking about this. Thinking about the fellowship that we have together here tonight in this room. Being broken in my heart because there's so few, but being encouraged because of the few that are here. But outside, he says in verse 15, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters. People who waste time. People who worship other things and other gods. Whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, "Come." Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Will you come? Will you obey the Lord? Will you live faithful to Him according to His Word, not according to ours? Will you come? There's a glorious home awaiting in heaven. We know what God has told us we must do in order to enter into this gate, in order to enter into that amazing city that we have awaiting. He tells us that we have to believe His Word. We have to hear and believe in order to come to Jesus. John chapter 6 and verse 45. He tells us that upon this Word we must recognize that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. And we must believe that. We must recognize that we are sinners and we must repent of our sins. Luke 13 and 3. We must confess Jesus before men, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And if we do that, He has promised to confess our names before the Father, which is in heaven. And then we must be baptized into Christ. Not a baptism to wash away the filth of the flesh, not an outward sign of an inward experience, and not a baptism of any man-made denomination, but a baptism in spirit and truth. Accepting the fact that in that water we're dead and buried with Christ, we metaphorically come in contact with His blood. And in that process, God who raised Christ from the dead will also raise you to walk in a newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. And once you become a member of the body of Christ, you just keep looking up to heaven. You keep your eyes focused on things above. Remain faithful until death. And you will receive the crown of life. And what a crown glorious it will be. If anyone tonight has erred in any way, or if you need to obey the gospel tonight, the pew up here is ready. When we stand and sing, I invite you to come forward and sit in this pew. Would you stand with me now and sing the song of invitation?